Oh yeah, when that bass drops in, you know it's time for DLC, your downloadable content for the week. DLC delivered the way it's meant to be, completely free. And that's thanks to our sponsor this week, Squarespace.
Squarespace!
They're the ones who made that possible, bringing DLC to you completely free. DLC, of course, the show all about gaming in its many forms, games played on desktops, laptops, and consoles, and also games that involve dice, luck, and cardboard. I am your host, Jeff 2N1T Kanata, and I'm joined by my friend slash co-host slash nemesis, the guy whose leaks always lead to reluctant announcements, Mr. Christian Spicer. Hello, Christian.
I can confirm that I am, in fact, one of the hosts on this show. Here's a CG trailer of me as a host.
Your best stuff will be coming in 2015, right, Christian?
We'll have more at E3 and look for a release date where you can start the journey in 2015.
This is going to be a very special episode. We got mad E3 predictions coming at you. It's the week before E3. Hype train is a rolling. This is going to be a fun one. And also, you should know that all next week, every day of E3, Monday through Thursday, we're going to have daily episodes of DLC live. We're going to be doing them every evening as soon as I can get home from the show floor. As soon as Christian can get home from the show floor.
As soon as Jeff can get up off the floor from the post E3 show floor parties.
Exactly. So get excited about that. We want to make it a very collaborative show. We're hoping you guys will call in and participate all of those episodes, because we want to hear what you're excited about with E3. We're going to talk about what we are seeing firsthand on E3. We're going to have some fun guests. Already got some people lined up. You'll be able to call in 512-518-5714. So write that number down. But that's next week. This week is wild predictions based on very little information, but more and more information, strangely. DLC stands for your downloadable Kanata, your downloadable Christian. But this week, DLC stands for Discussion with Livingston Christopher, because we've got freelance writer, game reviewer for PC Gamer and Rock Paper Shotgun, our new friend, Mr. Christopher Livingston. Welcome, sir.
Hello. Thank you very much. Very excited to be here. By here, I mean in my room, but talking to you.
I'm very, very excited to have you. You wrote the Watch Dogs review for PC Gamer, which I enjoyed reading. And so we're going to talk lots of Watch Dogs later on in the playlist. But before we get to all the E3 hype, we're going to get to some E3 leaks, because we're going to talk Story of the Week.
Story of the Week, it's the Story of the Week. Story of the Week, it's the Story of the Week.
Story of the Week, of course, the segment of the show where we try to convince one another of the most important story that happened in the world of gaming this week. Christopher, as our guest, I am curious as to what you would consider the most important story of this week.
Well, I saw a leak that led to sort of a half-hearted announcement, but it looked like the next Battlefield game was inadvertently announced, and that was pretty darn exciting. Looks like they've steered away from just straight up military and are going for sort of a cops versus crooks type of feel, which feels like it's got the single player, almost Grand Theft Auto-ish type of campaign, and then also multiplayer with heists and bank robberies and things like that. So that would be my guess for Story of the Week.
Yeah, we had several early E3 kind of megaton drops that happened the week before, as is getting more and more common. One of these, as you said, looks like it was not intentional. This is the new Battlefield game that was sort of ferreted out by some fans, and it forced EA to announce it kind of half-heartedly. This is the Battlefield Hardline, evidently, is what it's going to be called. It's going to be developed by Visceral Games, the guys who did Dead Space. And yeah, as you said, it's got some heist mechanics. It looks like it's going to be there's new multiplayer modes and a new single player campaign. But according to the president of Visceral Games, they didn't want the game to be announced this way. This The trailer that has shown up online evidently is old and does not show the game in its current state. And it really does feel, the trailer, if you watch it, it really does feel like a strange sort of corporate, like, this is what the game is about. And the guy is kind of like, well, this is what you'll be able to do in it and stuff. So it really doesn't feel like it's front facing to an audience, but it does look pretty cool. Christian, what do you think about this?
I think the game looks cool. I think the single player is kind of like has been promised for Metal Gear 5. I think sounds interesting with, you know, it's kind of the Alan Wake, an evolution of that episodic within one game kind of thing. It's like, you know, each level is a chapter with a beginning, middle, and end that plays into a larger story. When done right, that concept really excites me. I think I don't quite see how this is a Battlefield game, aside from that's a popular brand that EA owns that will likely help sell this game. So that's cool, right? Like, Visceral makes cool games, or, you know, has made some cool games. And if putting Battlefield on it means that more people will buy this game, and if it's cool and it will get more people playing these multiplayer modes that seem kind of neat, then that's, I understand it, and that's exciting. That should be something that, as gamers, we should get excited about, because, like, hey, more people will now be playing this game that I think looks cool. But on the other hand, it's not a Battlefield game, right? It's like 64 plus 4v4 cops versus robbers in the biggest battle in the mean streets of New York. But like I said, if it gets people playing it, I think it looks cool. And yeah, that trailer was actually, if you watch the leaked trailer, it was actually narrated by Tom, which is Mark's brother. Tom is in marketing for EA, apparently.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And didn't it feel like a very marketing guy, like, over with mini mode? Like, the consumer trailer will be like, boom!
Right, yeah.
When you don't know where to turn.
In a world.
Yeah. You know, and this was like, with over 7 modes of gameplay, gamers will have hours of enjoyment. What did you think? Yeah, where are you
way,
on the spectrum?
The other way you can tell it wasn't intended for gamers is it actually contained a lot of gameplay footage.
Right.
Typically, you just get a big, flashy, shiny CGI trailer that represents nothing about the actual game you're going to be playing. So just watching, you're like, oh, this is a mistake. Someone really screwed up to let us actually see the game being played.
No, that is that Mortal Kombat trailer was 100% in-game footage.
Was it?
Huh? We will get to that. That's the thing that I think that's an excellent point, Christopher. It's ironic to me. I was thinking this week, thinking about E3 coming up and how, you know, a few years ago, it seems like a few years ago, it was a lot of years ago, but back in the early PS3 days when everybody was debating about the Killzone trailer and the MotorStorm trailer and how, like, oh my God, is it in-game? Is it CGI? Now no one even expects there to be actual footage of an announcement of a game, you know, and now it's just accepted that, oh, we're seeing this CG thing, and, you know, maybe we'll get some gameplay in a few months, but it's kind of a bummer to me, actually.
Where do you fall on this? You haven't given your opinion on Hardline yet, or what is your take on this game?
I've never really been a Battlefield guy, you know? It's not really my jam.
This is the Battlefield for you.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, it's definitely more interesting to me than another military desert shooter, you know? It's definitely, I dig that engine. I dig the idea of, like, doing heists and stealing money. I think that's kind of a fun thing. We've seen some really fun heist games in the last year or two that have done that really well. And I think it could be cool. It could be a cool way into the franchise for me, somebody who's kind of not too interested in military shooters anymore.
Did either of you play the PS2 game 24 of the TV show 24?
Oh, God, no.
I did not know.
No. So I'm a really big 24 fan. I'm really enjoying the current season, too. It has its quirks. And in season one, there's the whole amnesia subplot. It definitely has its problems. But I played the game, and while the game itself fell short in terms of gameplay in many areas, I think it did a really good job of being a video game version of this TV show, right? It felt accurate and it had great character, the characters in the game and voice acting. And so I think this game, this Battlefield, feels like it could be, while not branded, you know, 24. Like, I really do like that idea of, like, a TV show come video game, you know? And mm-hmm. I think Alan Wake, I thought it was cool what they tried to do. I think it was a great first step. I've been talking about, you know, now it's not, we know we won't see it till Gamescom, but Remedy's next, you know, Quantum next Break. Project, right, with their live action and gameplay.
Yeah, it's so actually tied into a TV show.
Yeah. So I think this is the, I don't know, I'm really excited about the single player in this, which is so weird to be saying for a Battlefield game, which, you know, historically wasn't single player at all. But man, I hope they nail it. I hope it's great. I would love that, like where you could sit down and play one, but you might binge play 8 episodes because you're that invested. But at the same time, I could play for an hour and feel good walking away and like I got a good story. I think I love that idea that single player gaming might be going that direction.
Yeah. In the chat, JLove89 summed up my feelings pretty succinctly. He said, AAA Payday 2 made by Visceral. Cautiously optimistic. So that's kind of how I feel too. Is like if that's the kind of thing they're going for and it's going to be looking as sharp as Battlefield looks and made by a great developer, it could be cool. What do you think, Christopher? Are you a Battlefield guy?
You know, I'm a little intimidated by kind of pure military shooters. I feel like I kind of need to be an expert, like Arma, that kind of thing. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get killed in there. And you know, I'm more of a kind of a reckless player. I like running and throwing grenades and leaving cover. And it seems like a lot of these military games are, you know, if you step out of cover and get shot, everyone on your team's going to hate you because you lost the match for them. So I am really kind of psyched for this because it looks like it's, you know, it's maybe got the kind of military feel, but it's still cops and robbers and you can be a little crazier. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing more of this.
Another wonderful comment I just saw in the chat from Danish Sayed, who says, watching a CG trailer is like seeing a trailer for a movie starring Alec Baldwin and Jeff Bridges when it actually stars Billy Baldwin and Beau Bridges.
That's a very good point. Absolutely.
Christian, what is your story of the week?
Oh, man. It's leak-pocalypse, right? Like that.
It is.
It has to be the story of the week. The big story is Leakpocalypse, all of them combined. But if I'm parsing them out individually, then none of them hold water against Jack Trenton covering E3 for Spike. He's back, baby.
Wait, he's back.
Is he going to be digging like against Microsoft? Like, you know, he had some great little quips when he was on stage for Sony. Man, I'm so excited.
That is the biggest question. That's the biggest question. What persona is he going to adopt? How honest is he going to be? Is he going to be – this could be the greatest thing ever, or he could be really boring and shilly and you know, towing the company line for – you don't know. Is he going to be like sort of straight-laced suit guy, or is he going to be like, finally, I get to speak my mind?
Yeah, I'm so excited. Is he, you know, like Michael Pachner, I feel like, is a wonderful example of someone who toes that line really well. You know, I'm sure – not being one of his clients, but I would imagine he's a very successful businessman. I imagine when he's talking to his clients, he's very straight-laced or whatever, but on some of his patch notes videos, you know, he has some fun and he, you know, loosens the tie, so to speak. I would love to see an even looser-tied Jack Trenton on Spike, just slinging
he's
mud.
Like wearing shorts and a tank top. He's like, yeah, I'm in L.A., bitches.
Yeah, this is so bizarre, but I'm so – this is now my number one hype train.
So you're more excited about staying home and watching E3 on television than actually going to the show.
No way. I'm going to crash. I'm gonna become Jack's best friend. I've met him like once or twice before in very formal Sony gatherings. Now he's just a dude covering the show just like you and me.
You're like, JT, what's up?
I'm gonna Sessler him like you did that you talked about on an old double jump. I'm just gonna follow Jack around. It's gonna be so great.
How do you feel about this, Christopher? Are you excited to hear Jack Trenton's take on E3?
Yeah, I just Googled him and to find out who you're talking about, and that sounds great.
You don't know who Jack Trenton is?
I have no idea.
Oh my goodness!
I'm not up on my Jack Trenton news, unfortunately. Sounds like he dropped a microphone and became a star, so I'm all in favor.
He was the former head of Sony who would anchor their E3 press conferences every year.
Okay.
Yeah, and made a lot of waves last year by sort of being awesome and, you know, not really –
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, anyone who steps out of the mold a bit and isn't just some dude awkwardly reciting lines on stage is I think a good move.
Cool. I gotta say, I'm definitely on this train of Leakpocalypse. There's some really fun stories that happened this week. I can't think that anything is more exciting than this morning, Mortal Kombat X being officially unveiled.
Sonya, Liu Kang, Sub-Zero. I owned the Mortal Kombat techno soundtrack. You know it, boy.
Well, evidently, Mortal Kombat is eschewing techno and embracing hip hop. According to this trailer.
What was up with that? You've got that awesome song. Why would you would you not use that? You have a guy screaming the name of the game in the song.
Well, it's a Mortal Kombat for a whole new generation, evidently. We got a CG trailer. This is exactly what we've been talking about CG being the new gameplay. The CG trailer is awesome. As far as CG trailers go, this is exactly what I would want from a Mortal Kombat announcement trailer, because it isn't like the story you've wanted to hear. It doesn't care about that. It's like, oh, Mortal Kombat is about two people beating the crap out of each other, breaking each other's bones, one decapitating the other and being victorious. And it makes it seem like this game is going to be really cool. They talk about cinematic angles and if the game feels or looks even remotely close to the CG trailer, I think it's going to be huge.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll look. I feel like Mortal Kombat's have always been fun, but I feel like they've never been the best looking or best animated or even best fighting system games. That said, I've spent more time with NetherRealm games between Mortal Kombat and Injustice than I have any other fighting game. And that's just, you know, It's just fact. It's just science. It's, you know, I think they did an episode of Cosmos about it where it was about, you know, it's just proven in the star. Because I enjoy those story modes and I don't have the time to devote to being competitive. I tweeted the other day where it's like online multiplayer proving that you suck at video games. Right. I think it's going to be, I'm super excited. The last one was so good. It was so fun. And Injustice was another really fun game. I think, you know, we have to assume that this one's going to be great also.
Well, do you need more than just prettier graphics?
Well, what I need is to be able to wait 6 months, because NetherRealm also does have a history of releasing a bare bones version and then 6 months later giving you all the DLC for free in a cheaper package in the Ultimate Edition.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, Mortal Kombat has always packed a lot into their game, right? If it was like the battle chess mode, the pit where you're going around unlocking things, or the challenge towers. So I don't think there'll be a shortage of content in this. I think it'll be prettier graphics, and I think they'll have a new spin on some of those single player things, unlockables. And for me, I think that's enough. I'm not looking for them. This isn't like, you know, they don't need to reinvent the fighting again. I think they did a good job in MK9 taking it back and making it 3D/2D with a solid fighting system, saving it from Mortal Kombat Gold or whatever the N64 one was called. I forget, Mortal Kombat 4. I think that's enough for me. Will that not satisfy you guys? What would you guys want in the game?
Well, I certainly hope they continue on with what they did last time with that wonderful single player story mode. I thought they had done story mode better than any fighting game up to that point, in the sense of really bringing you from fight to fight and contextualizing each fight and making it feel like, yeah, I want to progress through this, rather than it's just, you know, a random series of fights. It felt like it was, you know, forcing you to play as different characters. And I thought that was really well done. But yeah, I mean, I feel that this is more like, I remember the first Xbox with the Dead or Alive being that marquee game on the first Xbox to show, oh my gosh, we're in a whole new era of graphical fidelity. I think if this game can look even remotely close to that trailer, and kind of what they're suggesting in the trailer of like using the environment, he breaks a stick off a tree and uses it to whack the dude. And if they bring in some more of those environmental elements, that could be really cool. But I agree with you, they don't need to reinvent the wheel. Christopher, are you a MK guy?
Honestly, I'm trying to think of the last time I played a Mortal Kombat game, and I think I'm old enough to say that I played it in an arcade, because that was my only choice.
I was going to say, I think I remember you back from a round table pizza. It was you and me.
You put your quarter up.
Yeah. So yeah, you might have
tried to play the countertop version of Pac-Man where you sit at the little table, but it was broken. So I went across the room to Mortal Kombat.
So you last played when Raiden was the front of Mortal Kombat. Like, do you think Raiden woke up one morning and was just real sad that he's no longer the face of Mortal Kombat? He's like, I'm a god. I'm the god. Yeah.
Well, that wasn't the only game that was announced this morning. We got two more. And remember, these stories can be submitted by you all week long using the hashtag DLCSOTW. These were submitted by at PDX_geek. And also, huge news, we now have a subreddit. Thanks to Dr. Not So Horrible on Reddit for setting up the DLC subreddit. So you can submit stories there. It's reddit.com/r/5x5DLC. So the subreddit is reddit.com/r/5x5DLC. And Reddit, we'll take stories from there all week long, too. What's that?
Reddit, the front page of the internet. Exactly. The DLC subreddit, not the front page of the internet.
So we also have Forza Horizon 2 and Homefront the Revolution, both week before E3 announcements. What's your take on these announcements, guys? You know, Homeland, The Revolution. I think Homefront, the first Homefront was a really wonderful universe that was established, a really cool fiction, this alternate future, or kind of alternate present, I guess you would say, where
it was Korea. It was kind of a Red Dawn, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I didn't think the game really lived up to the premise. It was short and sort of uneven, had some really wonderful ideas, but it seems like this one might have had a little more production time and might be a fully realized version of that game.
Yeah, I mean, I think the idea, aside from what's the word I'm looking, is it xenophobia? Is that the phobia? It's just, you know,
yeah,
perpetuating that fear of other kind of thing. It's always it's a delicate balance. I feel like it's easy, like Wolfenstein. I'm still playing and loving that. It's easy to go shoot up Nazis because we're like, we're on board. This other alternate future thing is always a little crazy, a little scary. But I mean, I'm glad this game had been rumored, you know, for years, right? That it was part of it went away. Come on, why is my mind blanking? Saints Row publisher. Come on, brain, work. Doesn't what? Matter. Internet will tell me. Chat will tell me.
THQ?
Yes, THQ, right? Wasn't this was all part of that. And then
yeah.
Homefront didn't sell that well. THQ goes away. And it had been rumored that this was being worked on in the CryEngine with Crytek, and they've done great work. I've enjoyed all of the Crysis games. And we haven't heard anything about this for a long time. And then, yeah, now, week before E3, oops, here, and it's 2015 also. So anyway, but I'm excited. I think it could be good. Open world scares me a little bit, and I want to get into that a little bit later as we talk about Watch Dogs. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this game needs to be open world, but I like the idea of a shooter with a cool story, because that's what BioShock is. That's what Wolfenstein is. I enjoy those types of games. So hopefully it's that.
Christopher, you got a feeling about Homefront? Did you play the PC version of the first one?
No, I didn't. But I have to say that open world, I much prefer open world to just about any kind of other game. And so that has me interested. Though again, it's another trailer that kind of just shows you a little movie and you can't really tell what you're actually going to be doing or what you can do or what it's going to look like. So hard to really form an opinion.
Yeah, I wonder how many of these quote-unquote leaks, I think some of them, like, for example, the Battlefield one, I think that's a genuine, we didn't want to announce it yet. These assets we never wanted you to see. But I feel like some of these are, like, you know, ways to get games on people's radars before the big event so that when they show a little more, people are sort of perked up, perhaps. Forza Horizon 2, I think we already knew that was happening, right? They announced it like it's an announcement, but I think we already knew that was happening.
I'm trying to recall if it had ever been officially announced. I think if I recall correctly what they said, I mean, they had the split team, right? They created the Horizon team basically to make Horizon. And then when Forza 5 came out, I think they said something like, and expect to see more in the universe. I think this is the first official like confirmation, but we all knew it was coming. What surprises me, the news of this, is that it's cross-gen. I think that's pretty surprising. I don't know if that's Microsoft not having faith in their console numbers, or I mean, Forza 5 wasn't. Is that because they needed a launch title? Yeah. I think that's the biggest news in this.
Well, it's crazy how many of these games are cross-gen. Mortal Kombat X, Battlefield Hardline, Forza Horizon 2. The only game we've talked about so far is Homefront that isn't cross-gen, which is crazy.
Third-party makes sense to me to be cross-gen more so than a first-party game. I mean, this, well, to some extent, this is good news, right? Because this is, if you know, why be an early adopter? You don't need to be. I mean, we all are because we're dumb. But like, you know, when Microsoft went from Xbox to Xbox 360, I mean, they burnt the Xbox to the ground and moved on. You know what I mean? It was like, we're out of this house. Light it on fire. And now they're, looks like they're going to keep supporting the 360. But I wonder, is that out of fear on their part that they don't have the install base that they want to support whatever gen you want to call it, Xbox One gen only games at this point? And it makes me a little bit of a sad panda because I think, you know, a little bit, if you don't know, Forza Horizon is a little more arcadey take, the first one, than the traditional Forza game. You're not on tracks, like real-life tracks. You're kind of out exploring, road courses kind of thing, point A to point B, kind of a rally around like a festival, kind of like the same concept behind MotorStorm, you know, but not off-road racing, but there's this festival and you're out riding around. And I think a current gen, an Xbox One only gen version of that game, to me has promise because, it would imply a bigger world, more dynamic weather, more cars, better physics, you know, all of these things that hopefully the power of the One could provide. And knowing that it's cross-gen makes me think that now it's just going to be a prettier version of Forza Horizons with new courses. And that makes me a little sad.
Yeah, it remains to be seen. I know that I have an appointment to see this game at E3, so I think we'll get some hands-on with it. But it's pretty wild how much of this stuff we know before the big event. But I hope that there will still be a lot of announcements. We're going to have some predictions as to what we think will happen coming up very shortly in the show. What else? There's some other interesting news items that were submitted this week, including Nintendo announcing RevShare for YouTube, which is interesting because, you know, Nintendo was shutting people down. Anybody that put up any kind of YouTube content that had identifiable gameplay footage from any of their games was getting cease and desist type action from them. And now we see why. It's because they wanted a slice. They wanted a taste. They needed a little bit of the sweet, sweet moolah. And so they're saying, hey, well, look how magnanimous we're being. We'll let you share in the revenue of us sharing in the revenue, which I think is just a way of them saying, hey, we want to make money on what you're doing. But perfectly within their right, it is their content. How do you feel about this, Christopher? You got an opinion?
You know, I think it's probably fine. It's, you know, anything to get them on board with streaming, because streaming, like watching game streams, is fantastic and it's fun, and it's kind of disheartening to see companies that aren't on board with it. You know, it's a little sad to see them trying to just extract more money out of it. But as long as people can play games online and other people can watch, you know, without getting sued or taken down or anything, I think it's probably a good thing.
Hey, Christian, you think that this is going to lead to other companies trying to do the same thing instead of letting it be free reign on the web? Companies would be like, well, okay, well, let's get our taste.
I wouldn't put it past other large companies from doing something like this. I might come across as the bad guy here, but
as
you know,
usual.
It's an interest as it, well to you because I'm usually right, and that just makes you angry. You know, it's a weird world where you can make a living, and I don't know if it's right or wrong, right? Where you make a living playing someone else's IP and you are broadcasting it for others to watch, and what you are adding to it, to that, you know, that content, is you are the one playing it. So the way you move around is unique to you, and then your voiceover or commentary is unique to you. But I mean, I wonder if people, how do people feel? This is a question for people in the chat, or, you know, tweet at us or send us emails or call in, you know, next week and let me know what you think about this. I mean, how would people feel about, you know, let's watches. And people were basically doing home versions of Mystery Science Theater 3000, which, you know, was paying when they did movies. You have to pay to get those rights and whatever. Like, if I'm watching Captain America, not the first Avenger, the old really bad one, right? And I'm watching that and I'm doing a MST3K style or riff tracks over it. That's the reason, by the way, riff tracks just gives you the track and you have to get the movie, you know, because
right.
they
can't supply that. Yeah.
Right. And I wonder if there would be the same outrage from the internet, like if I had that and then Marvel says, well, I want a taste because what your content is built on my content. I think people would maybe be more accepting of that. But gaming, it's because we had been doing it one way for a while that now when a company wants to pull back, it's easy to portray them as the bad guy. And I don't know if they're good or bad. I feel like they're trying to figure out what this is. If you want to know the real bad guy, I mean, YouTube doesn't pay you much. You right. know what I mean? Like, yes, they're giving you this platform that didn't exist before to put your content out there. But it's interesting to think that people expect to make a living putting their content on another platform, using content from another company, and then they're adding on to that. It's interesting. I don't know where I am on it yet, but I'm not reactionary. I'm not the one to grab the pitchforks and yell at Nintendo yet.
The good news is that Nintendo is providing a way for this content to exist. I think that's the silver lining is however this shakes down, they've stopped saying no across the board, which is a win. I think allowing this to exist and I think is a benefit for everybody that wants to watch this kind of stuff. And it's going to remain to be seen if what they demand of it is more than just financial. If it's some sort of control, that will be interesting too. And, you know, it's going to remain to be seen if it makes it less than desirable for people to even create this content anymore. But I certainly like the fact that they're saying, okay, we're giving you an avenue to make it. So that's good. Speaking of avenues to make things, our sponsor allows this show to be made. And our sponsor this week is Squarespace. One of my very favorite sponsors, Squarespace, is the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, and online store. That means any reason that you have to create a website, to create any kind of online destination, Squarespace is the place to do it, to make your website look interesting and unique. It doesn't look cookie cutter, even though they do have amazing templates and designs that you can start creating with. Because it's so simple to do the WYSIWYG, what you see is what you get, drag and drop style design, you don't need any coding experience. You can just drop things in really easily. You can take those templates and make them look really special and really your own. I have done it with my own personal blog, jeffcanada.com. I use Squarespace every single day. I love it. It makes it easy to update my content. They have 24/7 support through live chat and email that allows you to have any problems you might encounter easily rectified. It's inexpensive. Plans start at only $8 a month, which is crazy low. And that includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year. It's awesome. They make it easy to put an online store on your website. They have this commerce package that comes with an online store. Every single site that you do comes with an online store should you choose to put that in. And you can start a free trial with no credit card required. That is the coolest thing ever. They literally make it super easy, no commitment whatsoever from you. They're not going to automatically charge your credit card because they don't even take your credit card. They want you to like their stuff first. And I predict you will because I genuinely love Squarespace. So how do you do it? Go to squarespace.com/DLC. Use the promo code Jeff Sent Me. That's Jeff Sent Me as your promo code. That way they know that you heard about it through us. It helps us out. They makes them excited to sponsor the show and continue bringing it to you. And honestly, Squarespace is one of my favorite things in the world. I love being able to make easy websites, update them easily. You're going to dig it too. Squarespace.com/DLC and that offer code Jeff Sent Me. We thank Squarespace for supporting the show and hope you support them in return. All right, guys, let's get out of this story of the week stuff and talk about stories of next week. because that's the week, biggest week in gaming. It's the Super Bowl of video games, E3. Again, we're going to do live shows every night after E3, starting with Monday night after all the big press conferences. You're going to be able to come here. You're going to be able to call in should you choose. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have a fun discussion. Christian and I will be here, and we're going to have guests. I think I have several guests almost confirmed, so we're it's going to be really fun. So let's get right to the E3 hype train.
Choo-choo.
There you go. That's your cue. All right. So let's just march right through these questions. I think
can I ask a precursor question to Christopher before we dive into some of these?
Do it.
Sure.
Okay. As someone who writes, you know, for PC gaming, what is your big background? Just, you know, your overall forest, not the trees, view of E3. Is E3 as exciting for, in your opinion, a PC gamer, because most of these games now are on PC also, or is it not as exciting because there's no one up there? I don't know what it would be, like the Dell press conference or something. You know what I mean? Does it
Dell
have, dude, you're getting a Dell. Does it have that same excitement, or do you feel like PC is kind of an afterthought where it's like coming out on Xbox One, PS4, and then there's like a PC logo, but they don't even mention it. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, that's absolutely how I feel. I it's like, oh, they're announcing a lot of great stuff, and then you just wait and see, are they going to, you know, tack on a PC port? Are they going to throw us a bone here on PC? You know, you don't see a lot of really big PC-centric announcements. It's, you know, it's still interesting. It's still fun to see what's coming out, and there's still always stuff to get excited about. But it's not, you know, it's not as pretty much a strictly PC-only gamer. It's not really, you know, this thing that I hang on every single announcement. It's something I'll maybe check out and go, oh, that looks good. Is it on PC? No. Okay. Is this one on PC? Yes, that's good. So,
well, don't you think that in this console generation with PS4 and Xbox One, it feels more like PC is the third platform that everything is being announced for, because these consoles are basically PCs?
Yeah, I mean, I do feel like they're kind of gaining some sort of even ground, because typically consoles feel like they've been kind of lagging behind PC in a lot of ways in terms of, you know, graphics and things like that. So it is kind of exciting in that respect, I would say, yeah.
And we also heard recently, I don't know if it was this week, but we heard recently that, were you excited about 2014 being the year of the Steam machines? Well, 2015. Everything is 2015. 2015 is going to be the greatest year ever. We get Star Wars. We get
self-lacing shoes.
We get Avengers 2. We get Justice League. We get all the games that are announced this year. Oh, it's going to be great. All right, let's get right to our we are the seer of seers, the sages of sages, prognosticator of prognosticators. We will emerge reluctantly but alertly to predict E3.
Choo-choo.
Hype train, baby. Why are your chews so sad today, Christian?
The choo-choos are just based off of how my daughter says it, and it makes me giggle because her choo, she gets so excited, like, you know, at the zoo or whatever, you see those little kid trains, and she sees it, she goes, train, and gets all excited and has a full body shake, and then you go, what does a train say? And she just makes the saddest face and goes, choo-choo.
I want to know what will give you guys a full body shake at this year's E3. So let's start with marquee press conferences. First day, we got a bunch of press conferences all hammering right at us, and we'll throw Nintendo's Direct in there in the grouping as well. Which do you think will be the most, well, let's just say your favorite press conference? Which one do you think you'll walk out of and go, be the most hype train, happiest choo-choo, full body shiver, or whatever you said? Christopher, tell me what you think.
Let's see. From a PC standpoint, I, of course, am waiting for that announcement from Valve. Now, it's not the Half-Life 3 announcement. It's the Half-Life 2 Episode 3 announcement.
Right.
I'm waiting for the.
So you're living in a fantasy land. You're living in a wonderful fantasy land that doesn't exist. Go ahead.
It's going to be another. No, it's going to be great. It's going to be another 2 hours of game with the same assets. You're going to kill like 600 antlions. You're going to knock down a strider, and then you're going to solve a seesaw puzzle with the gravity gun. So that's what I'm waiting for. Not Half-Life 3, Half-Life 2, Episode 3. I know it's coming. It's coming this week. Bet on it.
So which press conference does that exist in? We want to know which press conference.
That's the imaginary one.
That's the imaginary press conference. The imaginary
one where Valve actually goes to E3 and does something.
Well, I wouldn't live in your future. Unfortunately, I think we're going to live in our future that doesn't include that. But I appreciate the hopefulness contained in your answer. Christian, what is your favorite press conference going to be?
Oh, man. Sony. My prediction is Sony, because I secretly have been working for them this whole time as their Vita caravan. Sony, I think, has – man, if Last Guardian shows up, it is. So that's where – I feel like if a legit God of War something shows up, that like God of War can still has the potential to excite me. I think that could be awesome. I think I'm going to leave Sony. Man, that's going to be the one that gets me the most excited, or the one that makes me the saddest, because that's where I feel like there are some potential really big. I like Sony exclusives. Some real footage of Uncharted could get me excited.
Yeah, man.
Sony for me. What about you?
I'm going to go crazy outside the box here. And say my favorite press conference. Are you ready for this? EA. I think the EA press conference might be the one that gets me the most amped. Okay, here's how I figure it. Dragon Age 2 Inquisition is one of my most excited for this year games. If they show good stuff, if that looks awesome, awesome. They're supposedly announcing 6 new games, by the way, at the EA press conference. That's what we hear through the grapevine. Okay.
No. You heard that wrong. They're announcing all of their games having a sequel being part 6.
Mirror's Edge 2 could be this sneaky, like, awesome game that no one – I mean, we all know that it's happening, but I don't hear a lot of hubbub about it yet, and it could be an awesome, like, if they show gameplay and it looks amazing. Again, it will be 2015, but who cares, because it's going to be super rad looking. That game could look awesome. We could get the new Madden looking amazing and truly next gen and blow everybody's socks off.
They showed that back at the Xbox event with Elijah Wood.
That's probably true. What else was I thinking about EA?
Star Wars?
Oh, yeah. Star Wars Battlefield. Exactly. Star Wars Battlefield. So
how crazy if they parade Amy out on stage, that'd be a pretty epic EA presentation.
Well, I don't think that she's working on that Star Wars game. She's working on a different Star Wars game, right?
Right. She's not working on Battlefront. But yeah. I mean, I think if they have her, I mean, look, I'm talking about Sony showing Uncharted. Uncharted's like 2015. You know what I mean? I don't put it past companies to trot out a 2016 game, especially because it's a new hire and a new announcement or whatever.
Right. They could show or at least talk about what that game is going to be, you know, kind of give you a premise for what it's going to be. I think EA could be a really, really cool press conference. I certainly hope that Sony and Microsoft are awesome, and we'll get to predicting those as well. But just like last year Ubisoft was the one that I left buzzing about the most, mostly because of The Division. I think there's the potential for EA to come in and really be surprising and fun, and I hope that they do that. So we got some calls online. I want to hear other people's predictions for press conference of the show. 412, you are on the line. What is the press conference that you think will be your favorite? And what is your name, where you're calling from?
It's AJ from Pittsburgh. I kind of tend to think that Microsoft will take it. I think I'm excited to see what Phil Spencer's kind of games first mentality will bring to the table. And I'm hoping they'll actually have, like, you guys saw that leak that came out a few weeks ago, so who knows how valid it is. But I'm hoping they'll have a lot of actual gameplay to show and not just CG trailers of games coming 2 to 3 years from now.
I think that's mostly what we're going to get. Are you worried at all that Quantum Break, for example, isn't going to be shown and it's only at Gamescom? Like, what is going to take the place of that? Are we going to see Gears of War, the next Gears of War game at the Microsoft conference?
I think that's possible. You know, they've been working on it. I forget the name of the studio, but they showed that teaser last year, but they got moved to Gears, so they might have something to show. You know, we'll see the Forza Horizon 2 gameplay, I'm sure, and stuff like that. But I wouldn't put it past them to have some weird surprise. You know, we might get the Halo Master Chief Collection. We might get see a better look at the new Fable game. But I just don't know what besides Uncharted 4 Sony has that they could similarly pull out.
Interesting. Vote for Microsoft. Thanks for the call, AJ. I don't know. I think we're going to see a lot of Sunset Overdrive from Microsoft. I think we're going to see Gears of War. I think we're going to see that Fable Legends game. I think it's called Fable Legends, right? It's going to be interesting. All right, let's move down the list and get to a prediction of what you might consider a sleeper for E3. So this is a game maybe we already know about, maybe we've already heard about, but nobody's really buzzing about. And then after E3, we'll come out and be like, oh my gosh, I had no idea that game was so cool. Now that we're finally seeing gameplay, I'm amped. Do you have a game like that?
Jeff goes first.
What?
Jeff goes first. You always go last, and you get to go, yeah, well, Christopher said is a good game. Well, Christian said is a good.
All right.
I'm probably going to – let me get a call and – no, you go first.
That's how I do. I'm like the Jack Trenton of this show. All right. Here's mine. It's a little bit weird and outside the box again, and I could be really wrong about it, but I think – I'm kind of intrigued and want to see more of Shadows of Mordor, which is the new Lord of the Rings game. Yes, yes, yes. I know you're saying Lord of the Rings, tired IP, but this game sounds really interesting. It's a third person action game where it looks like you sort of possess creatures is the main mechanic of your dude. And they're talking about how all of the enemies are procedurally generated. So everybody's game is going to be slightly different from everybody else's game. And the orcs that you fight, the big bad orcs, are going to remember the fights that you've had with them earlier in the game and comment on them and have scars in specific places because you smacked them there. And that everything is procedurally generated. So it feels like there's a history to your conflict and, you know, what my encounter with this guy is going to be different from your encounter because our previous encounters varied slightly. That's a really interesting idea. And if they can pull it off and demonstrate it effectively at E3, I might come out of there buzzing about that game. So there, Christian, I had one. What do you got?
Go ahead. What's up?
Go ahead.
Okay. Two. One. Someone posted this in the chat, and I agree. I think Arkham Knight, I could get really jazzed on. I like those games, but I think that has some buzz behind it.
Sure.
One that had buzz and has kind of fallen by the wayside, but is coming. And fool me once, Alien franchise. Shame on me. fool me a million times, Alien franchise. I will not watch Prometheus 2. Alien Isolation. I hope that there's some hands-on with that. With some sweet headphones. I think that game continues to show a lot of promise. I think people get excited about it and then it kind of simmers off. Evil Within isn't, I don't think, my style of survival horror. I think that's kind of like, will make me be like, ooh, gross. This is gross. Why? That's so gross. Why? That's what? That's gross. whereas I feel like Alien Isolation is more my speed. It's
your kind of gross.
Well, I don't know. I don't think it's gross from what they've shown. It's more
aliens bursting out of chests.
Well, that is gross, but this is an alien, right? I mean, I love that slow. I love a good jump scare. We've talked about this before, Jeff. The best jump scare are all the jump scares that don't happen. I love a game that only has one jump scare, but because of that, you're constantly afraid of others. So I think I'm hopeful that it's Alien Isolation.
All right, Christopher, you got a sleeper pick?
Well, you know, I guess it was maybe last year's E3 when the Division trailer popped up.
Yeah.
And since then, there has not been really much else on the Division. I know they maybe released some screenshots, maybe another video or two, but I have pretty much just been sitting waiting for more, because that trailer, I probably watched it 25 times. I was just entranced by it, and I'm really hoping there's something new, something else. We get a little bit more of that. You know, I just feel like it's been out there for a while, and we just haven't really heard much.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that game could really have a big coming out party. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We want to have your opinion heard. You can call in 512-518-5714. I'm excited to hear what people think about E3. We got a call on the line here from the 304 area code. What is your name? Where are you calling from? And do you have a sleeper pick that you would like to see make some waves at E3?
My name is Andrew Ryan, like the Bowshot guy, and I was kind of thinking The Witcher 3. I don't feel like I've really heard a whole lot about that. And that's got to be coming out soon, isn't it?
Well, it's 2015. Like everything else. 2015, like everything else.
Oh, did it get pushed back?
It did indeed. It did indeed. But February, so it's early 2015, which is good. And it was my game of show last year, I believe, and I have a sneaking suspicion it's a prime candidate for my game of show this year. I could not be more excited about that game, and I already have an hour-long appointment to see it. They're showing a big chunk of new gameplay, so you'll definitely hear lots of me talking about it on this show, and I hope it continues to wow me. Yeah, are you guys excited about The Witcher? Christopher, you into that?
I, you know, I played a little of the first one and didn't stick.
No? So. Oh, you got to play the second one. It's so good. It's so good.
Yeah, I'd heard that. It is on my list. You know, I heard the second one was good. I heard a lot about the second one that appealed to me. I just haven't gotten to it. I'll probably get to it right when the third one comes out. It's my usual way of things. Like, oh, this sounds good. I better play the last one that's 3 years old to get so I can play the new one.
Yeah, I think time well spent, especially now they've got all kinds of awesome patches that make the game even look more beautiful, and they tweaked the combat system with a major patch. Ugh, so good. So good. All right, let's do some quick hits. Christian, Microsoft prediction.
A super cheap Xbox 360. $99 something. Media box that plays 360 games. Something like that.
Pretty cool. You got a Microsoft prediction, Christopher?
Well, they recently announced you can buy it without the camera, right?
Yeah, the Kinect. No Kinect on the Xbox One.
I think they're going to remove the controllers as well, just to see how you like that. How do you like it?
No camera. You don't no want controllers.
A camera? How about no controllers?
It's just a TiVo. That's my prediction. That's all it is. It's a TiVo box.
Yep.
Bold prediction. My Microsoft prediction is that they will actually talk about Kinect games at the show, which is crazy that they are taking Kinect out, but they will actually show a compelling, interesting Kinect game. I know you say crazy, Jeff, you're insane, but I'm telling you, there's going to be a application for Kinect that you've never heard of that isn't just dancing around like a moron. It's going to have some kind of cool, maybe smart glass / Kinect integration, but it'll be
suddenly Christopher's prediction seems a lot less crazy than Jeff's prediction.
All right, Sony prediction. Christopher.
Jeff goes first.
Oh, Jeff goes
Jeff
first.
Goes first. Jeff goes oh, first.
Who?
Christopher
Jeff,
goes
me?
First. Christopher Jeff, goes me? First.
I think Sony's getting really tired of all the news. News cycle's eaten up by the Rift, and they're going to bring out something awesome with their virtual reality headset, which I can't remember the name of.
Project Morpheus. Is that it? Yeah.
Yes. I think they're going to try to take back some of the news cycle from Oculus.
I really hope Project Morpheus has a big, big presence at their press conference. I really hope so. That could be amazing. We shall see. I will say my Sony prediction is we actually do see Last Guardian. I know I say that every year, but we actually do see Last Guardian. I also predict that Uncharted 4 will be brain melting visually. We will feel like, oh my God, next gen just arrived. That the look of Uncharted 4 will be so far and above what we've expected, what we've seen from next gen games, that will finally feel like, oh, I can't wait till 2015 when this holiday 2015 when this game comes. And I also think that God of War will be there. Christian, Sony prediction.
Price drop, because they see Microsoft driving around town with the girl they love and they're like, F you. I think they'll drop it $50 and just be like, boom. I think, you know, they said they're already profitable on the PS4. I just feel like that's kind of the swagger that Sony's been strutting with. You know, they did that video last year where it's like, this is how you share games on the PS4. Hey, would you like to play this game? I would. Thank you. I think they're like, oh, by the way, price parity. Ha ha. Boom. $349.99. That's my bold Sony.
Pretty awesome.
And CeeLo Green makes the announcement.
CeeLo Green. Awesome. All right, Nintendo predictions. I will go first. Nintendo prediction is not what you expect. Well, maybe it's kind of what you expect, because we've kind of heard rumblings of this. I think this is going to be the year of the tiny figurine from Nintendo. Their big, huge new feature is going to be tiny figurines, and you're going to see the Nintendo Direct be all about tiny figurines. It's going to be a Mario figurine. It's going to be a Link figurine, and they're going to link between worlds. They're going to link you between your games, and that Nintendo Direct is going to show you some new games, yes. They're going to show you a glimpse of Zelda, which won't be coming out till 2016. They'll show you I don't know. I'm not going to say Metroid, because somebody else will probably say Metroid. But it's going to be all about these friggin' figurines. Christopher, what do you got? Nintendo prediction. Okay.
I was just going to say Zelda and just drop the mic.
Can you pick the mic back up and elaborate?
That's all I know, Nintendo.
What is this Zelda? Yeah, what's going to be the unique hook of this new Zelda?
I think we're going to see a little. I got nothing. I was just hoping to say Zelda and get out of this one.
I think Zelda is going to use the gamepad, and you're going to hold the gamepad up a la Zombie U and look through it to solve puzzles. That's what I think you're going to do. You're going to be looking through that second window, and you have to hold it up in front of your television in certain areas. And that's going to be Link's new power, is looking through the gamepad into an alternate dimension or whatever in order to solve puzzles in the temples. Boom. Christian, follow that.
Well, I'm still trying to pick the mic back up. I can't find it here. Disappointment. That's my bold Nintendo prediction.
That's not bold. That's just part and parcel to your whole take on Nintendo lately.
No, man. I think they'll show some really sweet Smash Brothers stuff, but it will still be so far away for the Wii U version. The problem with the Wii U, the Wii U is up there with some of the best iterations of Nintendo exclusive franchises of any of their consoles. Some of the best versions of those games, with Mario Kart out now, Mario 3D World, Pikmin 3, I think, is the best Pikmin, aside from 1, which is just revolutionary. It's tough. I don't think they'll do a price drop. I don't think they'll have something that really shows the gamepad being amazing. Oh, here it is, Jeff. Here it is. Bold Nintendo prediction. Every Wii U console will come pre-loaded, playable only on the gamepad, of the best video game ever created, Tetris.
Wow, that's a system seller right there, baby. System seller.
No, I think my honest prediction is disappointment, in that Zelda, they'll show Zelda, they'll show Metroid, but I think those games will end up being 2016, even if they give them a 2015 date. I think that they'll be amazing games when they come out, but every Zelda game has come out so many months. Well, I don't know about every. I don't know, like Zelda 1 or Zelda 2, but, you know, the GameCube and then Skyward Sword, and they've already even teased this Zelda a few times, and they're taking it back to the drawing board. So I think the Nintendo Direct will leave being like, it's not going to happen, and ultimately being disappointed.
Cynic's Corner, alive and well on DLC. By the way, everyone in the chat room is saying that my version of Zelda sounds terrible and boring. But I still think it sounds cool, so I remain steadfast in my prediction.
We didn't talk about the GameCube controller adapter.
Oh, right? Yeah, 4X GameCube controllers playable on Super Smash Brothers. That's kind of neat.
Which people are saying maybe now a GameCube virtual console.
Cool.
Don't need that controller to play those games, but maybe that'll be a big announcement.
I like how Nintendo is bringing back wires.
Let me do this then as my optimistic bold announcement. Subscription service back catalog access. Never going to happen, but that's my they don't make this salsa in New York City. This is from San Antonio style announcement. That's my bold.
Get a rope.
A bold prediction. Yeah, get a rope.
All right, I'm going to go to the phones. Again, you can call in 512-518-5714 if you're listening live here Mondays, 11 a.m. we start. Although next week, we will not be here Monday, 11 a.m. because we will be here Monday at like 8 p.m. Pacific time after the conference is over. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, every day, we want your calls. We want your opinions on E3. It's going to be a big week. We're going to have lots of fun talking about it. So I'm going to go take this call from 850. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Tell me your big prediction from one of the big three console manufacturers, E3.
My name is Matthew from Tampa. My prediction for I'll go Nintendo, and it is either going to be their big 3DS game, it's either going to be a Metroid or Advanced Wars. And honestly, that's kind of the point. It's like, I'm excited for Smash Brothers, which is most likely we're going to get a date for that in July or August, is my other prediction. Is the 3DS version is July or August release.
Awesome. Matthew is a frequent contributor to the show. We appreciate you. You're one of our super callers on DLC. We appreciate you participating. What do you guys think? Metroid for 3DS? What do you think about the 3DS? We haven't even really talked about it. We talked about the Wii U. We haven't talked about 3DS. I bet there's some really cool games coming, big announcements there. Any predictions, guys? Nobody cares about 3DS on this show.
I don't have any 3DS predictions.
I'm having a DS, a number DS, because I'm playing on my 2DS. Man, it's so funny too. After I bought that impulse, bought the 2DS at $99, like the 3DS, the communal 3DS that has been in our house, like Animal Crossing has really cooled, and I probably could pick it up and play it. But now I've just gotten, it's really comfortable. It's, you know, I don't have an XL. I think if I had that, I definitely would gravitate towards that version of it. I think Smash Brothers will be the big 3DS topic, and I think they'll have some other smaller, cool games coming forward that, you know, of their established franchises. I could see an Epic Yarn for a 3DS could be cool, one of those series. I know that we've had the Yoshi Epic Yarn shown, and maybe shown for that. Maybe there's a 3DS version of that. A Luigi's Mansion 2 could be cool. It's been long enough, or 3, I guess is what it would be, a 3DS sequel. It's been long enough for that. And maybe 3DS is where you do a Star Fox sequel, because the 3D, you know, it was great. And Star Fox, I think the 3D worked really well on that port they did. And I don't think people would be as upset for a short, I mean, Star Fox 64 is a very short game, would be too upset for that kind of game on the 3DS versus a $60 release on Wii U. I don't know. Those are pulling those out of my hat.
Why?
What do you think?
You wear your hat on your bottom, evidently. Why are you, Mr. Christian, I love the Vita Spicer, has not had any Vita predictions yet? What's up with that?
Oh, well, here's my Vita prediction. It exists.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
I love my Vita. Someone, I should really have, I can look this up. But, you know, we're tweeting and asking me, like, what do I think, which will Nintendo or Sony double down, so to speak, on the Wii U? or Sony double down on the Vita. And I think Nintendo will double down on the Wii U because they have to, because it's their home console. And while Sony released, you know, the Vita Slim, Vita 2.0 in the US with the Borderlands bundle, I mean, the Vita has become, as Apple called the Apple TV, you know, a hobby level thing for them. I think they'll keep supporting it. I think they'll push remote play features more. I think they'll tout some great indie games on it. But three AAA big budget releases haven't proven successful, even though I think Killzone was fantastic. I think the Vita version of Uncharted is really fun. Unfortunately, it's not viable. So I think Vita will be an afterthought in Sony's press conference.
Sad. All right, let's wrap up our predictions with the two biggest. What do you think? What is your biggest wish for E3? Wild, outside the box wish. Anything. It could be legit. It can be crazy. And then predict what you think your game of show will be. Who wants to go first? I can go first if you guys want to think about it for a second. So my biggest wish, and this is another thing I was thinking about EA, is they could have information on a new Mass Effect game. They could be teasing that at their conference. That could be kind of interesting. But my biggest
wish, I think we'll get a logo for that.
My biggest wish is not that, but my biggest wish is kind of like that, in the sense that we are in this place of the new generation where we need a Mass Effect type announcement, where we need, what I want, what I yearn for, is somebody to walk out on stage and not say, hey, this known quantity is getting another sequel, get excited. I want somebody to walk out on stage and say, we're creating something new. We've got long-term plans for it. It's going to be a trilogy. It's all going to exist on this new platform. Get amped. We're making it specifically for this. It's not going to be cross-gen. It's going to be this gen. It's coming out in 2015. Because everything's coming out in 2015, and get excited because it's going to be a big, long, deep experience that covers many. I mean, we kind of have that with Destiny, I guess. And Destiny, I think, is going to be, you know, it's going to have a big coming out party at this show as well. But I would like to see a brand new announcement from either Sony or Microsoft or Nintendo that is of that caliber. And I predict my game of show, boy, it's hard to bet against Witcher 3 for me, just because it's so in my wheelhouse of what I want. But I hope my game of show is something unexpected. I hope it's something that I don't see coming and, is a surprise. So, you know, I'm hoping, if Uncharted 4 is as gobsmacking as I'm hoping it is, that might end up being the game of show, although I doubt it will be playable. So Christopher, what do you got? Biggest wish? I think you may have already said your biggest wish is Valve announcing Half-Life, but
well, actually, also there's Fallout 4. Would love to hear some sort of news about that. I think we're all ready for that. Mirror's Edge 2, another one.
Yeah.
Great PC title that we've been hearing for a while that maybe it's happening, but we haven't really heard anything concrete. So those would be my wishes, along with The Division, which I was really excited about last year.
Christian, what do you got?
My biggest wish is, I think, maybe kind of similar to yours. I mean, I would love a surprise, and I think that's kind of what you were saying for your biggest wish. I would love something that just smacks me in the face, you know, jaws drop surprise at this year's show from, you know, one of the big three, or EA or Ubisoft or someone, where it's just like, holy crap, this is it. This is amazing. I want that. I don't think it's going to happen, but that's why it's my biggest wish. You know, I don't know. I don't even know what it is. Maybe Metal Gear 5, I finally get really, really hyped for it because they show something that's incredible. They show that episodic nature of it. Uncharted could maybe be it, even though I know the game exists, but it's like surprising in how amazing it looks or something like that. Or, you know, Microsoft, or through their third party, there's the rumor that they have a great, you know, exclusive coming. Microsoft had some great exclusives on the Xbox 360, and, you know, a brand new IP exclusive to the Xbox One. That's something brand new and awesome. Like, imagine if Sunset Overdrive, what they debuted it with, that in-game footage that they showed now, like that type of announcement where it's like, you know, Sunset Overdrive is coming to the Xbox One. By the way, here's gameplay. This is what it looks like. That to me is awesome. That would get me more excited than what they did last year with a CG trailer. I want cool thing and then gameplay and then like, this is it. That, yeah. I want that.
Oh, I know. I just thought of something that could usurp Witcher 3 as my game of show. Project Beast. Man, if that game is as cool as it looks in those little leaked snippets and they show more of it and it's coming soon, 2015, late 2015, I could be really excited about that.
My other wish is a Metroid from Nintendo.
Yeah.
Metroid Prime are some of my favorite games. They're up there as my all-time favorite games. I think 3 on the Wii. You know, if any game showed how you could have a cool, I think the immersion of using the Wiimote really worked. I really liked it. That could be the surprise that does it for me, that like smacks me back, especially if it's out, you know, early first half 2015. Game of show being realistic. Arkham Knight. Probably. I have a soft spot for
that's not something you need Rock to apologize Steady. For. That could be a freaking amazing. If they show gameplay, yeah, man.
Well, I think it's gonna be more than that. I think we're gonna be able to
hands on.
I think there's gonna be some serious hands on time. I know what they showed, was it at PAX or wherever they showed it was kind of like, whoa, this is early. And there's rumors that that game is getting pushed to 2015 as well. But I think some hands-on with that, and Rocksteady's really working their mojo with it, and the Batmobile works, could easily be my game of show. Either that, or it's, you know, the Oculus Eve demo. It's something like that, right? Like something so left field that is in a small little room that the first day you walk right up to and you're the first person to play, and they still have a tray of sandwiches out because no one's been there.
Lemon bars, baby.
And then the last... Right, and then the last day there's a 4-hour wait because the word got out. but it's hard to say what that game is.
All right, well, enough talking about stuff that we're excited about in this fictional fantasy future. Let's talk about what we're actually playing now and get right to the playlist. Ooh, what you playing this week? Tell us. Ooh, what you playing this week? Tell us on the playlist. Christopher, you reviewed Watch Dogs, which is the biggest release of last week. I wanted to know what you think of it.
I think as with any Ubisoft game, there's a lot kind of crammed in there, all piled up together, a lot of different ideas and a lot of different things. And you kind of have to sort through some of the bad stuff like story and characters to get to the good stuff, which is a fun open world and a lot of interesting things to do in it. So that's kind of how I came away from it. The main story, the main character, is forgettable, not that interesting. But the open world and some of the fun stuff to do was definitely really enjoyable, and I'm actually still playing it pretty much on a daily basis, even though I finished the game last Saturday night. So
you're going back and doing more missions and, you know, trying to 100% it. Is that the idea?
Yeah, I'm doing all the side missions. There's radio towers too. You have to kind of, hack and unlock, and there's driving missions, and there's infiltration missions, and there's gang leaders to take out. And then there's also some, I think, pretty interesting multiplayer modes that are a lot of fun at the same time. So it's still keeping me busy, even though I completed the game, you know, over a week ago.
Well, I'm glad you're here to talk about it and to advocate for it. And I'm glad you liked it, because I rushed out and bought it on release day. Mm-hmm. And I brought it home. And I should preface all this and say I'm not a huge GTA guy. Like, you know, I played through GTA 5, but I don't love those games. And I, you know, I played, I don't know, probably about 2 hours of it, and was not loving it, and got to a couple of points where, oh, you got detected, fail. Oh, you lost the trail of that guy, fail. And I just went, you know what? I'm ejecting this game from my console. there's too much other great stuff to play right now. I don't think I need this in my life. And that is me coming clean and saying I did not give it a fair shake. I didn't give it a chance, but I felt like there's too much of my time that can be used for all kinds of really awesome games that I want to play right now. I just don't know if I can stick with it and find the fun here. But maybe that's just more about my personal taste in games, because I can't stand that kind of – moreover, the stealth – like I love stealth in games when it's additive, when it gives you a tactical advantage. I don't like stealth in games where it's punitive, where it tells you – you lose because you didn't do this. You know, you lose because
Wolfenstein. Right. Oh, the stealth and air quote stealth in Wolfenstein is so, it's so empowering. You feel like, oh, such a badass. It's anyway, back to Watch Dogs.
Yeah. No, I mean, I and Deus Ex is that same way where like, I like using the stealth because or even Dishonored. I like using the stealth because I have a choice and it's not the only way. And it's not like, oh, you stealth bad, game over, you know?
Right. Yeah, well, half the fun of Dishonored is when your stealth goes wrong and then suddenly you have to fight your way out. I mean, I know a lot of people will stop and restart the mission because they want to get the stealth perfectly. To me, that's – no, it's – if you screw up, you know, deal with it, and that's part of the fun is scrambling around. And you're right. You know, I think Ubisoft has a good track record of taking new ideas and putting them into games, but they also hang on to these old things – that they've had for ages that no one seems to like. No one likes insta-fail stealth missions. They can be frustrating. They are frustrating. I definitely felt a lot of that frustration myself. But I also kind of, I guess I made it through that to the point where I could really start enjoying the game. And there are a lot of missions where you do use kind of stealth, but it's not... if you screw up, you can just keep going and deal with it. So,
yeah, I guess my other criticism,
but I hear you. I definitely hear
my
you.
My other criticism. And again, I've only played a couple of hours of this, so it's unfair, but I'll say it anyway, is for a new IP for a new franchise that we've been excited about and that is launching in a new direction. It certainly doesn't feel new. It felt very similar to GTA for me, and I felt like the hacking, while interesting, I like jumping between the cameras, you know, in order to to navigate my way through things. But other than that, it didn't really feel fresh. Do you have a sense of that, or not so much?
To me, it felt like it did feel very familiar. I mean, there's the GTA element, there's the Assassin's Creed element. There's a bit of the Batman element. I mean, you're a vigilante with gadgets. A lot of the stuff you do while hacking, while you're sort of jumping around between cameras, feels like Batman. You know, Batman will be, you know, kind of swinging from vantage point to vantage point and studying enemy patterns and looking for a good place to drop in and do some damage. And that's really what it felt like, except that you're standing out on a street corner.
Yeah.
Completely out of harm's way, but you're electronically doing kind of a Batman thing, which I really like. But yeah, there is a lot of familiar beats to it, and it doesn't really feel like something entirely new. I agree with that.
Christian, did you have any thoughts about Watch Dogs?
So what I would like to do, with the approval of the council, okay. Well, thanks for have a good okay, and choo choo. So, full disclosure, I have not played Watch Dogs. I will 99% never play Watch Dogs unless, Jeff, you give me your copy and then you promise me that if I play Watch Dogs, you will actually play my copy of Lego Marvel that I've given you a year ago. That is one of the best games
I have played ever it. Released. I played it. I told you I played it on the previous episode, didn't I? I played it.
No, you haven't played it. And... because you've had played it and it doesn't matter. So this isn't about Watch Dogs. I haven't played Watch Dogs. I'm aware. I've, you know, listened to stuff. I heard you guys talk about it. I've talked to other people that have played it, blah, blah, blah. To me, accepting where I am as a gamer, the term open world game doesn't excite me. Like, I know, and this isn't Skyrim.
Says I'm not the guy who's Skyrim. Excited about Batman, Arkham Knight. Go ahead.
Which, honestly, the open world aspect of that game is the most scary part of it. Arkham City, that wasn't open world. You know what I mean? That was just big hub world.
I think we can agree that the Batman is the scariest part. He's Batman.
Well, I would say that the Knight is the I would say that your parents dying when you're young is the scary. What I'm saying is these games that are classified as open world games, when GTA 3 happened, it was a pivot point for the industry. And that felt like a real sandbox. You did these missions and then you could take your car and you could go up and, you know, get up onto a tower and rocket launcher down, and you could steal any car in the game and you could drive anywhere on this map and you could do all these amazing things. And it hasn't changed since then. Like, San Andreas introduced cool RPG things that were kind of fun and interesting and novel, and GTA 5 made the world look more beautiful and bigger than it's ever been before, and you could go to the desert, to the beach, and whatever. But the longer these games exist, the more they enter their version of what is the graphical valley? Gosh, come on, brain. I'm trying to make a good point.
Uncanny Valley?
Thank you. The Uncanny Valley, where all of a sudden, like, I can't go in any building. That's dumb. Like, these games have existed for so long and they look so pretty. And it's so frustrating that these open world games, to me, I can't suspend my disbelief that you're in the middle of this story and they present your character to be one thing, whatever it is. You know, oh, you're trying to get revenge or whatever, or you're a good guy, really, you're a formed bad guy and you're trying to be good. And then you get in your car, and in order to get to the next mission in time, you're running 15 red lights, you might kill a pedestrian, there are no repercussions for it, the cutscenes don't reflect what you do during your sandbox play. Like, they're two totally different games. You have the sandbox world where you're just running around messing things up, and then you have the story mode that's trying to tell a compelling narrative, but it can't do so as well as a real narrative single player driven game, because they have to allow you to potentially play one mission and then go for 4 hours driving an ice cream truck around and giving ice cream to kids. By the way, you get an achievement for that, so you better do it. And none of these games do anything as well as any of the games that do just that thing. We have good shooting mechanics. Why don't you use them? We have great driving games. Why don't you do that? If you can't build a game, sorry, rant's almost done. If you can't build a game that has really good driving and really good shooting because you're compromised to making it an open world game, then all you're making is a really big, mediocre game. And as gamers in the game media, we're blinded by this big world and this glitz and glamour of these distractions, and you don't see that the game is poor. What I want for an open world game is a game that's like real life, where I have repercussions for my actions in the mission, and if I leave a mission in the middle of the mission to go, you know, drive an ice cream truck for a little bit, that's all well and good, but give me that David Cage approach then, where that mission is gone. It's over, that person died, or now they have a new motivation, or something changed, and there's no end point, and I'm in a real living world. Until then, these games don't.
I share some of your criticisms here. I think that the last bit got into a little crazy town, but but I think you're lumping in a whole lot of, by saying open world is X. I think you're talking about GTA style open world games, which
No. I agree.
Far Cry 3 is an open world game that doesn't behave at all like what you describe. Skyrim is an open world game that doesn't behave at all like you describe.
That's what I said at the beginning. I'm talking about the games. Open world game is a term like MMO is now. You know what I mean? Like, open world game describes a very specific game. People, no one called Far Cry 3 an open world game. No one calls Skyrim an open world game.
Oh, yeah, they do. Absolutely.
I think open world game.
Those are big open world sandbox games. That's how I think of those games. It's a game where you can follow the storyline. You can jump in the main mission. If you don't feel like it, you can go wreak havoc on your own. You can go do what you want. You're not really tied into, like, how many. I mean, I've played a ton of Skyrim, and very little time has been spent, sticking to their story. Half the time I play, I haven't even gotten dragons into the game because I don't feel like dealing with their story and their agenda. I want to go and run off and kind of have my own fun.
But so, I mean, I agree with you that, yes, these critiques are specific to the GTA, Watch Dogs, Sleeping Dogs, other type of dogs, open world games. But I do think a lot of the criticisms do apply to the broader spectrum of what I would call open world games too, where Skyrim's not a great compelling game when the missions don't have repercussions to your other actions, blah, 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 blah. Go ahead, though. Rip me apart. I'm ready.
Well, I mean, I always prioritize fun over realism. I think that some of what you're describing would be a little bit if I have to, you know, drive according to stoplights, I don't want to do that in real life. And I certainly don't want to do it in my game. But, you know, I understand the gist of what you're saying in the sense of don't break the reality of the world that you're creating. Don't make the cutscenes describe a world that isn't what I'm playing because I keep doing stupid things in my playing. But that's why I prefer my open world games to be like Infamous or Crackdown, where I get to be the superpowered guy that gets to bounce around inside my world and do fun things rather than the guy who constantly has to be worried about upsetting the police. That's one of the things I least like about Watch Dogs and GTA is constantly having to be worried about the police seeing me. I find that to be not very fun. But I take your point, and I see what you're saying. Christopher, do you have any thoughts about this?
You know, honestly, I agree with pretty much everything you said, and yet I still come away loving open world games. I love being able to – I love just entering an open world and going, what do I feel like doing? You know, not what does the story want me to do, not, you know, what's on my list. And yeah, there's definitely a disconnect between the story they're trying to tell me and, you know, maybe I'm this hero, maybe I'm trying to save someone, and then I go jump in a car and run over 175 people. But I guess I appreciate that I can do what I want when I want, and that to me the sandbox is the important part. There's always some sort of story tacked on there, and I mean, I would prefer, you know, no story. I would prefer just the world to mess around in. So,
which is a game I could totally get behind. And I think Jeff, I don't know, this wasn't maybe clear, is lost in the bigger rant. But Jeff, I agree with you, where fun dictates or should dictate. And Christopher, I agree with you. I think if you want to make this cool game where you get to go anywhere and do anything and you just have to have fun in the sandbox, like why hasn't anyone just made that huge sandbox game? You know, Minecraft is maybe that, and you know, obviously there you're building and whatever, creating the world too, but like, you know, make a thing where you're just a dude in a world and you're messing things up. Like that could be so much fun. I think it's this weird like hobble together approach that they take that just it just misses. And someone in the chat said, you know, oh well, that's my problem that I'm running over 100 people or whatever, like I could play within rules within the game. Honestly, half the time I try to, I just don't think the cars control well, or if you're doing one of these amazing follow missions, you're not really able to. You have to drive, and I know in real life, if you're trying to trail someone, you have to get a little reckless, but like, believe me, I'm not trying to hit someone, but when the AI, other cars on the road don't react appropriately, it's frustrating. It's frustrating too. I want GTA, air quotes, 4. You know what I mean? I want that next step in this world, and I don't think we've taken it since GTA 2 to GTA 3. And until then, I've learned that as a gamer, I'm not interested in this continuing prettiness of GTA 3. I do agree with you, though. Games like Infamous or Crackdown can work because they don't have as much of that problem, because you are just a dude messing things up. Like that's your role in the world, and it's a little easier to swallow that way.
Well, I think it treats the world more like a playground. We are running a little long and we have a hard out today, but I want to get to one of the games I've been playing in lieu of Watch Dogs. And I don't know how much you guys know about this game, but I'm telling you, everybody listening to the sound of my voice needs to get this game. I think it's an early contender for me for Game of the Year. It's one of the best experiences I've had ever in video games. It is truly a joyous experience, and the game is called A Story About My Uncle, and it's on Steam, and this weekend it was on sale for $12, and it is amazing. I was fortunate. Dan Trachtenberg told me about this game. He's like, you got to download it. It's Portal meets Mirror's Edge meets I don't know what. It is what I consider it to be, actually, is it's a Spider-Man simulator. It creates the sensation and joy that I've always imagined it would be like to be Spider-Man. So the concept of this game is that you are a little boy whose uncle is very eccentric and is kind of an inventor. And you go to his house and you're looking for him, and you stumble into his secret room where you find this suit. And you put the suit on and you stumble over to his sort of teleporter, and it teleports you to this magical fantasy world where your uncle is. And the suit allows you to jump super high, and it has this tether. So your hand can shoot out a tether that will latch onto things and bring you close to them and let you swing. And you do not kill a single thing in this game. There is no violence. It is just a platformer, a first-person platformer, but it's much more than that. It's like Portal was about sort of dealing with physics of yourself and flinging yourself onto things and propelling yourself and latching onto something with your tether at the last second and swinging around and figuring out how to get from place to place and propelling your body and then leaping large distances and just barely making it. And it is thrilling and visceral and amazing and one of the great video game experiences of my life. I'm telling you, everybody needs to play this game. It needs to be talked about because...
And the name of the game is?
Terrible. The name of the game is an impediment, unfortunately, to people getting it. It's called...
We need to keep saying it.
It's called
way, yeah.
A Story About My Uncle, which does not conjure all of the imagery that I was just trying to describe. It conjures sort of like a sad tale. But no, you're discovering... The game is Unreal 3 based. It's beautiful. The worlds that you find are full of majesty and you interact with this strange alien creatures and you... It's unfortunately made by a very small team. And my only gripe is that the voice acting is really, really not that great. And I wish I could have volunteered. I would have loved to just volunteer to do voice acting for this game. I just think if they had had a stronger voice cast, it would have been much more bringing you into that world, because it really does feel like people reading something rather than living it, you know. And it is a wonderful, wonderful game that everyone needs to play. I can't speak highly enough of it. It constantly switches things up. It's got that wonderful thing in games where you start with something, it gets more powerful, they switch it up, it adds a new tweak to, you know, it's got that Mario thing where it adds a new tweak.
A Story About My Uncle.
Story About My Uncle. Play it.
Right, just keep saying, you got to keep saying the dumb name in the middle of the awesome so that people start putting the two together. Otherwise, they'll hear this awesome, they'll go to Steam and be like, it's definitely not that game.
Yeah, A Story About My Uncle.
Just keep associating.
Yeah, it is inexpensive. As in the chat is finding, it is on sale right now for $11.69. You cannot spend that money more wisely if you're a video game player, in my opinion. I'm playing it with a controller, which I highly recommend. I spent hours and hours yesterday just trying to do this one little challenge, because it does a smart thing where it like adds a little challenge. You could get through the level in a certain way, but one of the characters is like, hey, I bet you can't do it this way. And you're like, okay, well, let me try that. And I over and over tried to do it because it was so challenging and interesting. But it's just wonderful experience. And again, you don't kill anything. You don't shoot anything. You're just exploring. And the game is beautiful and interesting and fun. And I love it. Love it. Okay.
I think this makes Christopher's prediction close to being accurate, though, right? Because Valve will buy this company. They'll release another version of this game. It'll become in the purple box that will also be bundled with Half-Life 2 Episode 3.
There you go.
That's right.
There you go. All right. What have you got on your playlist, Christian?
I'm still playing Wolfenstein. I'm taking my time with it. I love the game. It's really, really a fantastic game, and I encourage people to check it out, watch some videos on it if you're unsure. I said it before, I'll just reiterate. If you like BioShock, if you like first person games that are a little violent, you know, are violent and crazy or whatever, but have a great world in which you play in, cool atmosphere, cool story, and just rad shooting, give it a shot, or put it on your mental checklist for when it goes on sale, because I'm sure it will. But, you know, great, made by great pedigree, and I'll keep it short. I know we're running long, but I still really, really like Wolfenstein.
Yeah, I'm anxious to get back to that myself now that I'm in WildStar Early Access, which I've also been playing this week. And I played a bunch of Mario Kart 8 this week which has really been fun. Christopher, I want to hear about In Verbis Virtus, though.
Yeah, it's a game with a worse title than A Story About My Own Death, first of all.
You know what the kids are using these days? Latin.
Every time I write it.
You know what the kids are using these days? Latin.
Yeah, I have to look it up every time I write it because I'm like, is it In Verbis Victus? Invictus Verbal? I don't know. It's a first-person sort of a puzzle game and you solve these puzzles and unlock spells. And the idea is to cast a spell, you say a magic word or magic words into your microphone, into your headset microphone.
That's kind of cool.
So it's kind of a neat concept. You know, if you want to cast a light spell, you would say the whatever the magic words are for light, and on
Spectrum
screen you
Patronus.
See. Exactly right. Exactly. It's a real Harry Potter type of trip. Although I've noticed you don't have to be really perfectly correct in your recitation of this spell. You can be close, get the major syllables, and you're good. Magic is not that picky about it. Like it understands. It knows what you're
it's
trying
magic.
To do.
It's so. Magic. It's one step ahead.
Yeah, you don't need to be. It gets the idea.
Is it a fun thing to do, to be sort of calling out your spells? It kind of sounds fun.
It is fun. First I was a little sheepish, like, oh, I gotta say magic words. But then at the end, I was really like belting them out. I was really into it. And the puzzles are also really challenging. So when you solve one by saying something into a microphone and you see this thing happen, it is really kind of exciting. I really enjoyed it. I'm not all the way through it, but I've got four spells. I think there are maybe eight total. But it's on Steam. It's called I can't remember what it's called without actually looking at it. In Verbis Virtus.
In Verbis Virtus. Yeah, it sounds interesting. I might actually check this one out. Is it an early access game, or is it like actually out?
It is in early access. They are still they're still working on it.
Very, very cool. Well, unfortunately, we're running late, so no time for tabletop time. I apologize to everybody. In fact, tabletop time is going to be taking a little hiatus as the E3 hype train continues to barrel through. But as I said, next week we are pulling into the E3 hype train station. Easy for me to say. And we are doing live shows all next week. It's going to be really fun. And I hope you guys are around for that. Christopher, thank you so much for hanging out with us and talking games today. Where can people find more of your stuff?
I do a weekly mod column on PCGamer.com. I do a weekly early access column on RockPaperShotgun.com. On Twitter, I'm at ScreenCuisine. And my personal website, which almost never gets updated, is ScreenCuisine.net. And thank you for having me on. I really
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Fun. Christian, what are you doing in this pre-E3 week?
Oh, man, pre-E3 week. I'll be in San Diego tomorrow, Tuesday, depending on when you're listening to this, the 3rd, for Lestat's Comedy Night. Great show. It's at 9 p.m. And then E3 is chugging, barreling at us. And then people in the East Coast, I'll be in New York the end of the month, the 25th. Through the 29th, I'll be going out there for the East Coast version of Improv versus Stand Up at UCB East on the 25th. And then we're bringing the show to the Del Close Marathon, which is the 26th or 27th through 29th. And I'll be doing a bunch of stand up out there as well. So if you're in New York, that is poppin'. And Stuart Nacht, who I do Uninformed Opinions with, you might know as Wombat from the CAGcast, will try to do a live get together, something or other, because I'll be out in his city, so that's the end of June. And then, but man, Jeff, I don't know what we don't have time for this stuff yet, right? I mean, it's just
that's the problem.
Follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter at Jeff Cannata with two N's and one T at Spicer. We will be tweeting as to when to expect our show. I'm aiming for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm aiming for about 7 p.m. Pacific time to start the show. Monday is trickier because for some reason Sony has pushed back their press conference this year to 6 p.m. start time. So if they get done, if it's an hour show, we'll start as soon as it's done. If it's a 2-hour show, you know, and I just have to get home from the venue. So as soon as I get home, I'm guessing it'll be around 8:30 Pacific time. We'll get started. I hope you guys come and hang out. We really want to make this a conversation with the audience about what you're hyped about, I think we're gonna have some fun guests. It's gonna be a lot of juicy stuff to discuss. We won't do the normal format of the show. It'll just be a full on like what we think. Every you know, hashing it all out from all the awesome excitement from E3. And then, you know, as we Christian and I are gonna both go to the show, we'll be hands on with games and we'll talk about all the things we saw and we'll hear about the stuff that you guys are seeing from home as the coverage continues. So I think it's gonna be really, really fun. And then
we'll be dropping a few unmarked Game of Thrones spoilers in the middle of conversation. So be on the lookout for those. You get prizes. No, I'm just kidding.
If you need something to do in the meantime, as you're waiting for E3 to be upon us, why not try an audiobook? And why not try an audiobook that I narrated? It just was released. It's called Traveling in Space. You can get a link to it on my website, jeffcanada.com. It's a science fiction novel about first contact with aliens. I'm super proud of it. Didn't write it, but I really, really like the book, and I'm proud of the narrating that I did on it. Over 35 different voices of aliens and humans, and it's a really cool story. I've been getting such amazing feedback. Brian Brushwood called me the other day. He just finished listening to it. He loved it, and I was so honored to hear him dig it and dig. And he said he kept forgetting that it was even me because so transported by the story. So I hope you check that out. Again, you can find a link to Traveling in Space on audible.com or on iTunes, but the easy way to find it is go to jeffcanada.com. All right, guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us on our predictions. You can hold us accountable next week as we find out what came true and what did not. Until then, think about what you put out into the world. Make it a better place.